Welcome, great patriotic friends, to February 18th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
I'm your host, Joe DeCristoforo, and on today's episode,
Teddy Roosevelt outbullies J.P. Morgan by dismantling Northern Securities. We'll wish a happy birthday to triple amputee motivational speaker Cameron Clapp.
So, let's do this!
1902. Teddy Roosevelt outbullies J.P. Morgan by dismantling Northern Securities. Back in 1890, Ohio Senator John Sherman came up with a bill that would help regulate commerce and help competition by limiting monopolies. Known as the Sherman Antitrust Act, it was rarely taken seriously and often completely ignored, as United States courts would routinely side with the big businesses. The American Sugar Refinery Company, for instance, controlled 98% of the U.S. sugar market, and in 1895, the Sherman Act would be ignored as the Supreme Court would not rule in favor of corporate dissolution. Meanwhile, in the booming railroad business of the turn of the century, James Hill, owner of the Great Northern and Northern Pacific Railroads, wanted Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroads, or CB&Q, just like his bidding arch-rival Edward Harriman, president of the Union Pacific and Southern Pacific Railroads. During the bidding war, Harriman demanded 1/3 interest in CB&Q. Hill denied him, and in retaliation, Harriman started buying stocks in Northern Pacific, forcing Hill to counter, and Northern Pacific shares artificially boomed, nearly crashing the stock market. Finally, banker J.P. Morgan and financier John Rockefeller stepped in with a solution to all four gentlemen to wrap up all railroads into Northern Securities Company. The NSC was about to become the largest company in the entire world, and President William McKinley turned a blind eye. Then the president was assassinated, and Vice President Teddy, the old lion, the great white chief, the man on the horseback, the trust buster, T.R. Roosevelt, stepped in as president and would not turn a blind eye to Morgan and went right away to stop him, dead in his tracks. Railroad tracks, that is. February 19th, 1902. While Pierpont Morgan was entertaining guests after dinner at his house, his telephone rang. Now, the telephone, at the time, was a nice communication gadget that only a couple million people in the United States had in those days. The man on the other line was a messenger calling to inform Pierpont that TR's attorney general was bringing a lawsuit to Northern Securities. Slap. No warning. Several days later, Morgan was at the White House yelling at the president that he was being treated like a common criminal. President Trustbuster Roosevelt pulled out the Sherman Antitrust Act and accused Morgan of having an illegal combination, quote, acting in restraint of the trade, unquote. After the courts ruled 5-4 against the stockholders, Northern Securities would be forced to dissolve and become, once again, the Great Northern and Northern Pacific Railroads. Now, throughout the century, as time went on, it became more widely accepted or believed that Morgan would get revenge on the president just a few years later by attacking his rival Hines Morse and, along with help from Rockefeller, drive down the prices of Hines Copper, which created the Panic of 1907, which in turn led to the Federal Reserve and the Great Depression, and it's a long story. Trustbuster Roosevelt earned his nickname because he believed that a trust that dominated the industry provided good service at a fair price, then that is a good thing. However, if it starts jacking up prices and taking advantage of the consumers, TR will find it and tear it apart. Business by business. 1986. Happy birthday, triple amputee Cameron Clapp. Typical California kid, Cameron loved skateboarding and surfing. But one day in 2001, he was drinking with his brother, rather heavily apparently, and passed out onto a train track. No, I did not make that up. When the train came and ran over him, he lost both of his legs and an arm. So I suppose it could have been worse. He got a couple prosthetic legs and a microprocessor in his head, and he is not only back to being an athlete, but also a motivational speaker for other amputees. Cam's advice on patients dealing with their disability, surround yourself with good people, good doctors, therapists, family, and friends. Set reachable goals, work hard, and maintain a good attitude. Cameron, clap everybody like a boss! 1885, Mark Twain publishes The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Few stories represent America as well as this book did, but don't take my word for it. Ernest Hemingway himself mentioned that this marked the beginning of American literary history. It's controversial to this day. While Twain, or Samuel Clemens, as he's called in real life, is under fire from African-American groups for being racist in its illustration of black people and using the N-word about 3 million times in the book. While ironically, the book was a strong criticism of racism and slavery in general. The story was a direct sequel to Twain's The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. So that is all, my friends, for February 18th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joe DeCristoforo. And on tomorrow's program, I'll talk about some World War II news, plus Old West news with the Donner Party, Benedict Arnold and the Revolution, and some Grammy Award stories you gotta hear. Until then, check out the website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com, leave a comment on the comment board, or take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes. Until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll do this again tomorrow.